Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with Mark Holland, co-hosting this relatively new show here on KCIS, with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, you're the man with the plan, as they say, and you love estate planning.
I actually really do. Isn't that a funny thing to love?
That's a funny thing to love.
Yeah, fortunately, my other love is Jesus, too, so we can combine those and make a pretty good deal.
Huh? Well, the last few shows, we found out about your love for the Lord and how important it is to leave that legacy for your family. Thus, the name of the program, Legacy and Faith. Tell us this week what our subject is.
Well, today we're going to be focusing more on a couple of the tools. There's two basic tools that we have as attorneys to work with when we do estate planning. One is a will and one is a trust. So we're going to take them in order in these next couple of shows.
Okay.
And today we're going to be looking more at what wills are able and what they're not able to do in fulfilling that long-term plan that God has given you.
Well, you said on a previous show that half of the people don't have a will, don't have a plan at all. And I would assume that means also the same is true with the will of any kind of plan. The will is obviously the starting point for the plan, and most people don't have a will.
That's right. And in our last show, we also talked about not only individuals not having any type of plan, but that individuals need at least four basic documents. We need a will or a trust. Mm-hmm. That's the disposition document. We need a financial power of attorney. We need a health care power of attorney, and then an end of life document. And we discussed a little bit that it's my opinion, other attorneys may do something different, but I would like to see those documents specifically separated for each of them so that they can be individually used. So we talked a little bit about the financial, the medical powers of attorney, and very briefly the end of life, but we really haven't gotten into those first two documents, which is the will or the trust. So we're going to take a stab at both of those, mostly the will today.
Okay, so what is a will and what does it do?
Well, it is one of the more basic documents that we've had for ages and ages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is simply a document that is going to try to do three or four different things to ensure that your estate can be properly and legally dealt with. So a will then is your voice to speak to the issue of, if I die, these are the things that I want to happen. Now, one of the very first things that we need to do in a will is we like to name our family so that we know exactly who we're going to be dealing with and who are the important people in our lives. Let me back up one step really quickly, which is that if we don't have a will, then we talked about that Washington law will capture exactly what happens to your estate. So a will is a step in the right direction to ensure that instead of defaulting to Washington law, that now I get to have a voice to some degree in naming where my belongings go to, where accounts go to, who's going to be in charge of it, and what I would like to see happen. So let's take a few of those in order, shall we?
Okay.
First of all, a will is going to need to be signed when someone is competent. They need to be over 18 years of age, and they need to have two witnesses. So a lot of wills actually have a notary, but Washington law doesn't require any notary status. We want two witnesses to the idea that you signed and were competent at the time of directing your estate. In addition, the will then is going to begin the process of laying out our family members, whether I'm married, whether I'm single, whether my spouse has passed away, and then who is next in line. So for me, I have two daughters. So therefore, we'd want to make sure that in my will, things got split properly to the girls. And let's assume for today's discussion that it goes 50-50, okay? A very common, let's split everything equally, right?
Okay.
Now, a will can create an uneven distribution, or it can create a specific distribution. So, for example, if I wanted to leave you something, I would say, well, I'm going to give Mark my whatever it is, my painting on the wall.
Okay.
All right. So now
Record collection.
My record collection. You like record collections. There we go. So now the will is going to set up, well, here's a specific gift. We call that a specific gift. I have something that I'm going to name, and I'm going to give it to a direct individual. Now, the will then would go through that, and it would take those things off the top first of the estate. So let's say I wanted to leave $10,000 to my church. How's that for a good example, right?
Yep.
So let's continue our charitable and giving heart towards the kingdom of God. I'm going to give $10,000 towards my church. So my executor or personal representative, we'll get to that in a second, their first objective then is to make sure that that specific gift gets fulfilled. Then when all the specific gifts are done, we have what's left over, whatever is in the estate, and that's called a residuary estate. So the residual estate. That means everything that I haven't specifically said I want to go out. That's where we get to the kind of the basic percentages of what a will would have. I want blank percent to go to this person, that person, or equally split between my kids. So there's the basic premise of an estate plan. We need to know if somebody has a specific gift and where it goes, and then we need to understand who gets what's left over and how do we split that as well. Now, the other thing that a will is going to try to accomplish is we want to name who is going to represent us. Like I said, in Washington, that's called a personal representative. It can also be known as an executrix or an executor of the will.
Been there, done that several times.
Okay, so you know very well what that duty is. And I think that many individuals have actually played that role in some sort or another. Maybe their parents have passed away and they've been in that position to, in essence, to clean up an estate, to do the administrative process. So we want to make sure that the will clearly gives us a pecking order of who is going to step in and represent the one who has passed away. And we want a pecking order. We want, in case the first person is unable or unwilling to fulfill their position, we would like backups to be named. That way, again, the will is my voice of saying, I want these individuals to manage my estate when I'm no longer here. That's a very important piece of the will puzzle. When I die, if I have a will, then I need someone to act on my behalf. So the simplicity of a will is that I want something to go to my daughters. Okay, so let's assume that I don't have any joint accounts. I didn't name beneficiaries. And so everything is going to run through my will. And I want that to be split 50-50 between my girls. The problem is that everything that I own is in my personal name. Well, here's a huge revelation. Are you ready? This is going to be worth you listening to me right now.
Yes.
When I die, I can no longer sign my name.
Yeah, that follows, yes.
Okay, very good. So that speaks. Now, but in order for the account to be legally transferred, someone has to sign on behalf of Paul Grant, and that is the personal representative or the executrix. So that individual needs to go to a probate court. They need to present the original will and demonstrate these are my beneficiaries. The document shows that I'm supposed to be representing Paul. And so therefore, court, recognize the authenticity and put me in charge. And those are some of the basic ideas that a will is trying to accomplish. The greatest voice is actually to the court. So the will also needs to be legally sufficient to allow the court to empower the personal representative. If it's somebody we trust and we know, we want them to do it without bond. In other words, we don't want them to have to go get an insurance policy to protect the beneficiaries, right? So we want them to do it without putting money down. And then we want to make sure that the court has the confidence that they can follow the directions of the will, empower the personal representative, and turn them loose to be able to start closing the estate. Mm-hmm. Now, there's one other really important thing that a will does. A will is also the document where we name new guardians. So if we have minor children, a will sets up who will be the next parents for our children. Every couple that has minor children, you need minimally to have these basic documents. There are unfortunate family fights of well-meaning grandparents over children or aunts and uncles who want to step in and protect children at such a pivotal time. And so if you are a parent that has minor children, 18 or under, actually 17 or under, then please make sure you have something in place for this issue alone, that we can confidently know and the court can confidently know exactly who is supposed to take over the parenting role, the guardianship of your children. This will assist the family with such great detail. So,
well, you talk about a simple will. Is a simple will sufficient for most people? What do we mean by a simple will?
Well, I have people walk into my office all the time and saying, well, I just want a simple will. So, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a little bit candid here. Okay, I'm going to go out a little bit on the edge, which is that typically when I hear that, what I hear is that people don't want to pay the attorney very much.
Okay, that's what that means.
And we've addressed this in past shows, is that estate planning is far more complicated than what we really want to give its credence. So the law nowadays is becoming more and more complicated. I don't know if you see the same thing, but this world just doesn't get simpler. It gets more complicated on all levels.
I was surprised by that, and particularly that laws change every couple of years, like just even in Washington State.
Yeah, absolutely. The tax laws continually change, mm-hmm. and there are updates to statute. Case law is constantly being put out by the courts, and that changes how it's interpreted. So all of these things make even a quote-unquote simple will a complex document. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one aspect is that we need to get away from the idea that this is simple. Giving your voice in any topic area, whether it's your finances, whether it's your relationships, whether it's education, or whether it is in estate planning, none of it is simple. So therefore, having a strong, competent attorney to help you through the process to ensure that the document is meeting your expectations and intent, it is a big step and a big beginning. And so we need to move away from simple estate planning.
Okay, well, people are intrigued. They can tell that they need a will. They've been putting it off, and they're hearing the Legacy and Faith Show today with you, Paul Grant. People want to get in touch with you. How do they do that?
You can go to my website. It is legacyandfaith.com, and that is the beginning place. You hit on an event, and it'll take you to educational opportunities to get in contact with us.
Okay, going to hear about one of those opportunities here in just a moment, and we will also return with more discussion of the will and how important it is to your estate plan as we discuss this with Paul Grant here on the Legacy and Faith Show.
Hi, this is Paul Grant, and I want to personally invite you to Kingdom Builders, where business meets faith. Kingdom Builders is a one-day event to help Christian business owners focus on walking in faith and fulfilling their 2018 goals. We will be discussing topics such as, what is my dual calling as a Christian business owner? How do I capture what God's vision is for my business? What does it mean to use faith as a business owner? How do I grow my business using biblical principles? Am I being faithful with my finances as my business succeeds? There will also be practical discussions concerning business ownership, proper legal structure, tax implications, leadership principles, and many other topics. We hope you will set aside your day and join us as we prepare for an amazing 2018. Presented by the Legacy and Faith Show, Planning with Purpose, and Canyon Creek Church on Saturday, March 10th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Canyon Creek Church in Mill Creek. To register for this free Kingdom Builders event, please visit my website at legacyandfaith.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Mark Holland joining Paul Grant today, the Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS. Coming back after the break there, we will talk about wills more in just a moment, but we want to talk a little bit more about this Kingdom Builders seminar we heard about. What is Kingdom Builders, Paul?
Well, that's coming up next Saturday on the 10th of March, and I'm really excited to join with my church, Canyon Creek Church up in Mill Creek, and put on a free event. So that's always a great word, right?
Well, there
free.
You go.
So, heck, we'll even feed you if you want to come out. So this is a really good gig. It's really focused towards business owners. So we're going to be talking to business owners throughout the day, and we're going to be talking about some practical issues in running businesses. We'll have an accountant talk about the new tax laws and how they influence business owners. We're going to be having a national guest speaker who's going to be talking about what happens when you have conflict within your business and how to keep the vision moving forward, a vision of peace, and to continue to work for God's kingdom, even though there's going to be conflict, because last time I checked, our Christian living isn't conflict-free, so therefore we need to have solutions. In addition, we're going to be talking about how to take what we have earned and what we are doing in our businesses and begin to map out how can we use our business for the kingdom purpose. Now, let me clarify just one quick thing here, Mark. I'm not talking about how we can use our business to evangelize. So I think sometimes when we hear as business owners and as Christian leaders that it's going to be a seminar about how do I evangelize. No, it's about how to, by faith, capture what God wants to bring to your business and then begin to have a kingdom vision with that newfound wealth or the purpose that he is setting before you. It's going to be a great afternoon. So we are going to be talking about money. We're going to be talking about faith and how they intersect, and how we can use that for kingdom purposes. It's going to be a great time.
Okay, again, that's March 10th. And for more details, your website again, Paul, is?
LegacyandFaith.com.
LegacyandFaith.com.
Yep. So you can sign up there, more information there. So please head over and hit the sign up button, and it'd be great to meet some of you.
Okay, well, continuing our look at the importance of the will in estate planning, we heard a little bit about that in the first part of the show. We talked about a will, a simple will. I want to ask, what happens if you don't have a will? Can you lay out a little bit of a scenario? What happens to you if you die without a will?
Yeah, then we're back into what Washington law says. First of all, the problem when I pass away that we mentioned before break is that I can no longer transfer my property. So someone has to be empowered in order to take my place. And oftentimes, that'll be a spouse. So the statute says that a surviving spouse has first crack at it. So I would want my wife to step in if I have not done any planning.
That's what the state is going to do. The
correct.
Wife is the person.
This is the law. Mm-hmm. So I lose my voice without any type of will or trust. And now I'm going to look at the law and say, what happens next? So Washington statute says, well, the community property spouse has priority to manage any community property. But here we can get into the weeds, and I won't do it here. But what if this is a second marriage,
right,
and we have different children? Well, the law anticipates that and sets up a whole different objective of how things get distributed. And so what if I was in a long-term relationship but never married? How does that influence things? So there's many different scenarios that would need to be addressed, and the law tries to interpret or anticipate them all, but it just can't. So if we die without a will, we're at the mercy of the court's interpretation and an attorney's interpretation, and oftentimes it's kind of, well, whoever wants to come to the court and take over, they can demonstrate that, yes, I'm connected to the decedent, so give me power and let me try to start running with it.
Yeah. So this sounds like something we would want to avoid. We want to avoid probate. Is that possible if you have a will? Are you avoiding probate? Or
Yeah, and a great question. Not exactly, because if anything is titled in my name alone, we're heading towards probate.
Okay.
Now, we can avoid that by beneficiary designation. So if you have an IRA or a bank account, we can designate who is going to receive things. And that's a contract with that institution. So they must fulfill the contract. Or if I own things jointly, so if I have a joint bank account with my spouse, well, the joint owner will take over that. And these are some considerations that we need to look at as well. What if I brought on my child? So if I'm older, I say, oh, it's easy if little Johnny is going to be on my bank account. But as soon as little Johnny is brought onto my bank account and I die, that account is legally Johnny's only. And if I had other children that I meant to split that account with, now I've set up a whole can of worms again.
Right.
Whole nother problem. So probate can be avoided, and it can be a high objective for many individuals to avoid probate. In Washington, it's really not as quote-unquote complicated. At least that's what I hear from other attorneys, is that the system is not that big of a deal. It's not expensive. The national rate is between 3 and 5%. So if I die and I had $1 million, the national average is that's going to cost my estate someplace between $30,000 and $50,000 to close a probate estate. Well, one of the nice things about Washington is that we don't have a fee according to the assets like other states do. Mm. So therefore, it tends to ratchet down the expenses and ultimately what is paid out of the estate because it's not going to the court system. But what I've seen in the research I've looked at is that it's still going to be about 2%. So that experience is still going to cost $1 million estate about $20,000 to get through. So that's a little bit of a bite. Mm. Yes, we can avoid probate. And here's the one thing that I'm concerned with in the probate process is that it's an unpredictable process. Mm. So therefore, I've voiced my concerns through a will, but now I've put it into the hands of a judge. Instead of keeping it at the family level to create a more predictable outcome. But in order to do that, we would need to start utilizing a trust instrument, which is going to be next week's show.
Next week's show.
A little bit of a teaser mm-hmm. to tune in next week mm-hmm. as what is a trust? And so the will is a great place to start, and it is better than nothing. That is absolutely for sure.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to, you mentioned two minor children. What happens if you don't have a will? What happens with minor children then? Who decides what happens with them? Do they just go into the foster care system, or did they look for extended family and just decide whoever steps forward and says they want to take care of the kids? Or how does that work?
Yes, a little bit of all those things, depending on where family is, who can be the immediate caretakers over a short period of time. And ultimately, every guardianship, even if you name somebody, it is going to end up in the hands of a judge because we have to have a full-time court-ordered guardianship naming who is going to be the parents for minor children. So even when we use a will, we still need to go through a court process to make a court order that these are the new guardians and empower them as the document has stated. However, if we don't name anybody, that's where we're at the mercy of the court and multiple voices, oftentimes well-meaning voices, but oftentimes competing voices of wanting to do what's in the best interest of the children. So ultimately, the judge is going to figure it out if we don't use our voice at all.
One more quick question about wills. So when someone passes, having a will, does that make the process of closing the estate faster, slower? How long does it normally take?
Yeah, great question. If we're going to go through the probate process, even as an attorney, it takes me 6 months to go through the entire process and lead a client through it. So I've also had probates open for over 2 years with some very surreal circumstances that surrounded the estate and someone passing away. And there again, when we have a more basic document, so I don't want to call it simple, but it is more basic for a will, when we have a basic document, it just simply mm-hmm. cannot speak to all the complications right. that we may be lining up. And we lose the opportunity to direct long-term how we want our estate to be managed and how it's to be handled. And let me say this really quickly. I think that God has demonstrated a very clear intent that he uses generational planning to fulfill his kingdom purposes. We could go all the way back to Genesis and we could start the whole story with Abram and how he became Abraham and how the blessing was passed generationally onto his children, onto his family, and that through that lineage, the ultimate goal of redemption mm-hmm. was brought out by mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So if we look at Matthew 1, there's the whole lineage. That is not by accident that it's there. Mm. It is a clear demonstration of God's vision of using family and lineage to line up his will and his kingdom purposes. So my encouragement is that we need to have a plan. Use your voice. Otherwise, we will be at the mercy of Washington, and we will be at the mercy of a judge who, well-meaning as they may be, will not fulfill exactly what you have envisioned.
Okay, estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant this week, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS. Good stuff. People are listening to this. They know they need to get involved with planning a will, maybe updating a current one, maybe starting from scratch. Paul would love to help. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website at legacyandfaith.com, answer some questions, and get into an educational session, and we'll be glad to take care of you.
They can also find out about this upcoming seminar, Kingdom Builders. That's happening again March 10th. Where again?
At Canyon Creek Church up in Mill Creek. Mm-hmm. All the information again at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay. Thanks for talking with us once again today, Paul Grant, the Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.